Today in Design for the Real World, Carol Ann Marling, an American Studies professor, looks at this phenomenon of memorial souvenirs from an historical perspective. And we visit the vendor tables that still ring Ground Zero.
Whenever anything major happens of a horrific or a terrific nature, we seem to need some kind of reminder to ourselves of what has happened. Oftentimes we make fun of the kinds of things that are sold as souvenirs I guess what you'd call dust catchers.
My name is Nick Pavey, temporary resident of New York City. I think I wouldn't buy a souvenir just because I don't like to clutter my life with garbage. It's burned in my brain. I don't need a book full of pictures to remember, you know?
But, you know, this kind of thing has existed since antiquity. Little self-reminders that something happened and that we need to come to some resolution about it.
My name is Eugene. Actually, originally I'm from Russia. I'm selling the photos in the streets right now. Photos of New York, especially Twin Towers, maybe like memorial lights. I've never saw things like with the albums with these horrible things. I hate people doing this. They're making the money, I don't know, on the deaths, that's it. On the death people, oh my gosh.
I'm Nancy Haney, I'm from California, and my husband is a retired firefighter. We wanted to come and see this and pay our respects. And I want the pictures of the firefighters. As a remembrance of what all the firefighters did here in New York City, the lives that were lost, if we can show our part from California, you know, I think that that's wonderful.
Within hours of the collapse of the World Trade Center, one kind of popular memorial went up all over New York City, and that was, of course, photographs of the missing. Oftentimes then almost converted into shrines. And I thought they were some of the most moving commemorations of the event as they stayed up longer and longer. But a second kind of material also appeared surprisingly early, and that was three-dimensional renditions of the photograph of the three firemen, New York firemen, raising a flag at Ground Zero. And I found that interesting because, first of all, it's one of the first items that used the iconography of the American flag. But it used it in a very particular way, and that is the flag was flying as the flag flew with the Iwo Jima memorial of the soldiers raising the flag on Mount Suribachi in Washington, D.C. The interesting disparity of scale struck me right away. The 2.5 to 3 inch tall figurine I encountered sort of shrinks what's an almost impossible event to take in all at once down to a kind of coffee table size, as though in some way we're going to make it manageable that way. People seem to need to reach out and touch a part of this event.
My name is Mark Kreit. I work for the LA County Sheriff's Department, and all of our fire trucks in LA County have In Memory of FDNY on them. And so when a lot of the guys I work with, firemen and deputies, heard that I was coming back to New York, they said, get us some shirts and hats. So it's a real simple way, wear a hat, wear a shirt, say, hey, don't forget what happened. And kind of like, we're with you. We might be 3,000 miles away, but we're with you.
The symbols, like the flag and like the eagle, and the firemen are useful because they help us have a take, I suppose, on what happened. It may have been horrible, but we're not without hope. We're filled with hope that American officialdom might possibly come through in the end. We're a collective again, and for the last 20 years or so, we haven't had a great American collective. And suddenly there seemed to be, there in these symbols, one thing around which we can all rally, about which we can all agree, no matter what our individual differences are.
Carol Ann Marling teaches American Studies at the University of Minnesota. She's the author of Iwo Jima, Monuments, Memorials, and the American Hero.